This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. Most of today's gospel is actually setting things up for what we'll hear next week. So make sure that you remember all the things that we read just a minute ago. It will come in handy when you hear what happens then. But even though the words that we read are transitioning from the last chapter, where Jesus said he's the bread of life, to what is about to happen, there's still some things that we may glean from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you notice what he repeated twice in today's lesson, you'll learn that time is a big topic for Jesus in the Gospel of St. John. It's not just today's reading where he mentioned his hour twice. It's throughout the entire gospel that Jesus speaks about time. At Cana in Galilee, when Jesus was asked to change water into wine, he says to his mother, "Woman, my hour has not yet come." When Jesus met the woman at the well, he told her that the hour is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. In chapter 5, Jesus told the Jews that the hour was coming when the dead will hear the voice of God. And he said then after that, the hour is coming when the tombs will be opened and the dead will rise. All of this talk about time that we've heard so far and that we will continue to hear in John's Gospel culminates on Good Friday, when he himself says, "The hour has come when God glorifies his name in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross." Jesus says it this way, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified." Jesus worries about time a lot. And that's because all the time in John's gospel is leading up to that very moment, the time when Jesus will be crucified and glorified. Today's reading tells us that time has not yet come. Not fully, anyways. And this particular passage is beautiful because it already hints to us what the time, that the fullness of time is that Jesus is speaking about. Because it begins with these words, "The Jews were seeking to kill him, to martyr him, to put him to death. They would rather kill him than believe the word that he preaches." And they've been trying to do this throughout the entire book of John. They're trying to get rid of Jesus because he's healing, because he's raising the dead. He's claiming to be God's Son and the Son of Man. Because of all the things that Jesus teaches about himself, they are seeking to put him to death. On their terms, at their timing, in the way that they see is fit. But Jesus will not let them, for his hour has not fully come. His time hasn't arrived yet. Jesus knows what they want to do to him. But he also knows what he must accomplish before he's put to death. He must preach the good news about the kingdom of God to all who will listen. He must show that he is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament in one person. He must prepare his disciples, teaching them that the Holy Spirit will come through word and sacrament to bring the church into existence. God's word must be completely fulfilled in him, completely, totally, all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed, everything written about the Son of Man must be fulfilled. And until this happens, Jesus will not entrust himself into the hands of those who seek to kill him. Christ knows what he must do, and when he must do it, and how he must do it. In fact, I think we could even say it this way. Christ is in charge of all that is happening. He is in charge of all that is taking place so that he may actively fulfill all that God had spoken before. Jesus is not subject to the world. He's in charge of the world. He will not even be goaded into acting the way the world wants him to, not even by his own relatives in today's texts. His brother says, "You should just go down into Judea." But he will not go, even if pressured by those who love him most. Christ himself knows what he must do. And he says in John chapter 10, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Christ is in charge. He has authority. He will do what he must when he must. And he'll do it independently of what anyone else thinks. His hour has not yet come in today's lesson. But when it does come, he will do what he must do. And that's good news for all of us. Because the thing that drives all of Christ's actions, the thing that's important for all of the timing of when these things must take place, is that Christ must accomplish your salvation. That's what he's concerned about. To fulfill the scriptures. To save the world from sin. To save you from your sin. To pay the price that it has earned. To fix what you have made wrong. To be the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To be the new Passover Lamb whom we eat the body of and drink the blood from. He must fulfill it all for you. To fix what you have done wrong. To die on the cross and rise from the dead. When the time is just right, for saving you from your sins. And nothing will pressure him to make it a rush job. Nothing will distract him from what is important, saving you. Nothing will change what will happen. He will fulfill all of God's will for you in your place when the time is just right. And so as we continue to read John's gospel, keep that in mind. Christ knows what he's doing and when it must be done. Jesus cares a lot about time in John's gospel. He does things as he sees fit. He does them completely, and he does them for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.